720 WGN. It is On the Road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on what I would, I don't know if I describe it as unseasonably warm. I always like to do that. Camille, what do you think? It's slightly damp, somewhat balmy.
It's gross.
It's gross out there. Okay. All right.
I don't like it.
It's not raining, but it isn't necessarily one of those sunny days that we've enjoyed so often here during this program. So we're going to make up for that with a great show that we've got on tap for you. You know, we had an opportunity to get down. Of course, there's a lot of buzz related to May in Indiana, and especially in Indianapolis. Camille, you know this because even though you are a lifelong Cubs fan, mm-hmm. and of course part of Chicago's you know, very own WGN radio here, which is an iconic Chicago landmark and everything that goes along with that, but you are as honorary a Hoosier as you can be. Is that correct? Would you embrace that description?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, born and raised in Illinois, Chicagoland area, but having family in Indiana, went to school in Indiana. Now I have friends in Indiana. I'm there all the time.
Okay. So. All right. Well, we've done it before. We've, of course, worked with the state of Indiana and Visit Indy, the great folks over there at Visit Indy. They've got an incredible team that lets people know all the kind of things that are going on there. In Indianapolis, I've got to say it, we've made it one of our on-the-road road trips. It is a vibrant city. It is really cool in a lot of different ways. Totally, you know, apples and oranges from Chicago. Love Chicago, you know, the architecture, the sports and everything. But from a concentrated, condensed city living, and there's a lot of exciting things happening in Indianapolis too. You got all that sports that is going on. You got the convention business. Their culinary scene is up and coming, and of course they have the thing that that I guess we'll never have, which is the Indianapolis 500, which is the biggest I think outdoor, might be the biggest sporting event in the world. 300,000 plus people there. Bona beef. We did a bona fide ride down to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for Fast Friday. Got to talk with a lot of the personalities, a lot of the drivers. You know, on this show in the last couple weeks, we've had the last two winners. Takuma Sato was in studio with us. Alexander Rossi was on with us. And so we're going to talk with a couple of the drivers, the up-and-coming drivers, and some with some really cool stories. We're also going to talk with Doug Bowles, president of Indianapolis Motor Speedway, about everything that's going on there leading up to the 500. Also, the 500 Festival, a lot of things going on with that as well. And Scott Jasek, who is he is a longtime Chicago, and he'll be joining us right after this break that we're going to take. And he has got the Indy racing experience. Camille, have you ever, lifelong Cub fan, and I know you've been to a lot of games, you've ever done like a fantasy camp? You ever done like a backstage pass anywhere?
I would love to.
Okay. All right. So as close as you can get to the action of what it is that you enjoy is great. He's got this where you have the opportunity to ride in an Indy car. You even have the opportunity to drive an Indy car. You can ride one with Mario Andretti, right? And experience that speed in that car on that track. We'll talk with him right after the break. And I've got a pack of these, and I know Sarah, our marketing person, will be excited. Camille, you will be as well. A pack of Bona Beef gift cards. The $25 card for the bona fide ride. So starting this week, again, you can send in your first car, favorite car, dream car. We've got a couple people that were waiting on them. They will be getting to you soon. And 312-981-7200, you can text them in and you can call them in order to ultimately win. You'll have to talk with Camille. And when you think the prizes aren't going to stop, as if just the great interviews and guests are prizes enough, we've got the On the Road with Dane Neal prize list, the following prize available for on-air giveaway. In addition to the card, we've got a pack of four tickets to the Jags Route 66 NHRA Nationals on Route 66 Raceway. Well, we've got two. It says a pack of. We got two to give away. Wow. Okay. So definitely get in on this. And the other way to enter with that is, again, send in your first car, favorite car, dream car. We will pick a winner. Let us know. Let Camille know as well. If you can attend, it is May 31st through June 3rd. And you're going to feel the rumble of 10,000 plus horsepower beneath your feet as you prepare to be blown away by Nitro Dragsters exceeding speeds of 300 miles an hour. We talk with all those drivers. Leah Pritchett's going to join us in a little bit as well. So, yeah, lots of things to do, lots of things to listen to, and some really cool stuff to win. Keep it here. When we come back, we're going to talk to Scott Jasek, Indy Racing Experience. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Scott Jasek from the Indy Racing Experience here on the road with Dane on WGN.
This is going to be the best day of my life. 720 WGN, On the Road with Dane, live here at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the world Center for Motorsports, and is going to be the epicenter of all things cool, fun, and certainly fast coming up for the Indy 500. But it's the calm before the storm, as so many things are happening getting ready for this, which is the largest outdoor sporting event. 300,000 people are going to be here to see some great cars racing around the tracks and their favorite drivers. A guy that has been in and around the sport for so long and giving you the opportunity to experience as close as you can get what the driver's experience is, the one and only Scott Jacek with IndyCar Experience. Scott, welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you, Dane. Yeah, welcome. Yeah.
You are one of those guys that I think is so important to the sport, because without you, people aren't going to be able to experience it. You can see it. You can watch it from the stands, watch it on television. We always say that there is nothing that really rivals actually physically being there for a motorsports race, right? The sights, the sounds, the vibrations, you know, all of it doesn't translate to TV. When you can have the opportunity to take it one step further, maybe 100 steps further, and be in the car, was that what you were hoping to do, is give people that experience?
Exactly. Yeah. It started as my two business partners raced Indy cars, and one day I just said, hey, can I drive that Indy car? And they're like, no, you can't drive an Indy car, because if you blow the engine, it's $500,000, or you wreck the gearbox, it's,
I have to sign a waiver form,
right? Astronomical amount of money. So then I drew on a piece of paper the two-seater, and I said, hey, what if you just stretch the car and put me in back, and then I don't have to worry about all those things. And then I presented it to Tony. We created a plan, presented it to Tony George at the time, and that was 17 years ago. And since then, we've given, gosh, over 100,000 rides to celebrities, media, and just the average fan. And exactly like you said, you give people the opportunity to be out on the track. When I took my first ride, I always think of that. Remember the movie Rudy? And all of a sudden, Rudy's out on the field, right? It's Notre Dame football. He's out on the field, and his buddies are in the stand. They're like, who's the wild man now? I thought the same thing. I'm out on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I'm going circling the track at 180 miles an hour, and I'm thinking, who's the wild man now? And that's what we do for, like I said, celebrities and media and the average fan.
The world's largest spectator sport, racing, right? And so you can do this in all the other sports, Chicago, great sports town. We know we love this, and you can do fantasy camp, right? You get out there, sort of put on a uniform and hang around with some people. There's just no way to experience, like, the actual on field, on track experience other than doing something like that. So what has been some of the feedback that you've gotten from people? Because it's the kind of thing that I don't know if you can prepare yourself for.
Well, I can say this. 100% of the time will exceed someone's expectations. From people, and I'll name drop just to give you a perspective. Lady Gaga rode at the 100th running of the Indy 500, and she was blown away. She was actually calling her mom afterwards and explaining the experience, right? And just recently, Channing Tatum, the famous actor, he rode in Alabama. He was blown away. Back Mark Wahlberg, he took a ride, and he was so nervous, his voice was shaking in the video. You could hear him going, this baby's moving, and his voice is shaking, right? So I'm using those names as references to say we've exceeded their expectations. You can only imagine some of the things they've done, right? 100% of the time will exceed people's expectations, because it's not like a roller coaster. It's not like anything you can imagine. And even to give you an example, Scott Kelly, the astronaut that spent most time in outer space, when he showed up, he's like, I've been 22,500 miles an hour circling the Earth. I've been in a rocket ship. And then he got out, and he's like, I've never felt speed like that before. Because when you're that close to the ground and that close to walls, it's a far different experience.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so to experience it here, you're not only, you know, getting to feel everything that a driver would feel, but you're doing it in one of these iconic locations, legendary places in sports. Obviously, you do it here. But the IndyCar experience, I know you'd mentioned some connections. We've got some history together in Chicagoland and all that kind of stuff. So where does it, you know, for all of our listeners, we reach 38 states in Canada at night here at WGN. It's like, where are the other places people can experience, or do they have to just come here to Indy?
Well, first and foremost, we do our most dates here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, because it's where most people want to experience an IndyCar. But we follow the IndyCar series. So wherever the IndyCar series operates, you can purchase a ride at IndyRacingExperience.com. And the rides typically are in the $500 range. We also have an experience where you can drive an IndyCar, so you can do a lead and follow. We do that specifically here at Indianapolis, and that's $1,000. And then this September, we are taking over a stock car experience here through the Indy Racing Experience, and you'll be able to drive a stock car or ride in a stock car, and that starts at $199.
Wow. Yeah. See, any one of these experiences would be one of those things, kind of a bucket list, chance of a lifetime. It's not that you have to afford this, you know, every single time, but like once in your life to get in there and actually experience it, you'll never stop talking. I'm sure some pictures can be taken, right?
Yeah, we have pictures. And just recently, there's a gentleman, he's ridden 9 times, and he's got his own fire suit, and he feels like he's a driver. And now when I say drivers, some of our drivers too, like Mario Andretti drives our car.
You got him just working for you, like, Mario, hey, you're late, come on, 5 minutes ago.
No, I have to admit, working with Mario, the legend, right? He's won everything there is to win in racing. He approaches our two-seat IndyCar like a race team, like a Formula One team, because of his level of detail. So when people take rides with Mario, he's loving the experience more than they are, because he's still out on the track and giving rides. So
just as you've been such a great, you know, ambassador for so many things, like in racing and providing people that experience, to have someone like Mario, who spent his entire life as, you know, not only, you know, amazing legend, you know, on the track, but also this great ambassador for the sport, to have him work with, that's high praise for you.
Yeah, well, it is, and we're very thankful to have him. And we've even done things like we've taken the two-seater and put it on a military jet, and we took it to the troops. We went to we were in Turkey, Iraq, Bahrain, all around the Middle East. We would unload it, and Mario would give rides to military guys and ladies on runways, and so it was a great thing to do. And being around him, like you say, he's an ambassador. He loves the sport, but he's also, he loves being Mario Andretti, and that's, I think, the part I love about him the most. He embraces who he is. He's not standoffish. He loves promoting the sport, and you know, anyone that comes up to him for an autograph or whatever, he's very, very kind and friendly. So he's wonderful to work with.
An American legend, a treasure, but not getting like any younger. How often does he do it, and how can people get in on some of the experiences, whether they're doing it themselves or the two-seater or maybe with Mario Andretti? How can people get involved?
Well, of course, our website, IndyRacingExperience.com. That's real easy. That's an easy way to book an experience. Or you can call us at 888-357-5002. We do take, you know, obviously we will answer the phone and take a book an experience. Yeah.
All racing is great, you know, and of course the stock car experience as well. And you guys merged. Talk a little bit about that and how that series works and how you can get behind a stock car as well.
Yeah, so the stock car experience, we purchased a company that also had stock cars available to us. And so we've merged that into the Indy Racing Experience. So same thing, if you go to the IndyRacingExperience.com or stockcar@IndyRacingExperience.com, you can book the experience there.
I want to let the listeners know we're talking with Scott Jasek. He's the owner of the Indy Experience, the Indy Car Experience, where you can get on the track and experience some of those same things that drivers do. It is amazing, but you're a driving force for fast in a bunch of different ways, and this is one of the things that I think is cool. Certainly, you know, the Indy 500 takes so much of the attention, gets so much of the credit, but there are things happening here in this city all day, every day, 365 days a year. So many race teams are based here. So much of what you see on the track and on television happens here. So talk a little bit about the factory, the research, development. You guys are making cars with Dallara.
Yeah, so we are a partner with the Dallara company, and we're located right here, a third of a mile from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We, at the factory, we build the Indy cars. So about 7 years ago, we moved the manufacturing of Indy cars from Europe back here to the United States. So they're now made here in the United States in Speedway, Indiana, on Main Street at the Dallara IndyCar factory. We do tours there too, and we host events. Like we were talking a little bit earlier, innovation used to happen when the cars used to show up here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in the 50s and 60s, and people would show up with different cars. Today, the cars are all similar. It's a spec series, so Dallara manufactures them all. But all the research and development now happens in computers and in simulations. We have a simulator in our facility. There's only three in the world. There's one in Ferrari, there's one in Dallara, Italy, and we have the only one in North America. So a lot of research and development happens right here, and it's not only for Indy cars. A lot of the things that are developed for Indy cars can translate into other things, aerospace. Even people that are sending rockets into space approach us for opportunities. So it's not only just, you know, the Indy car is what we're known for, but the technology translates to many things. And like you mentioned, the city, it's populated with lots of race teams, lots of shops that support the series and support the cars. So it is it's a 365 day a year industry.
When it comes to racing or even potential intergalactic travel, Scott Jasek, he could be involved. And when the small world, whether it's this world or other worlds, come into play, you've got Chicago connections too, right? Grew up in Chicago, now you're here. So talk a little bit about, give a shout out to the hometown.
Yeah, well, I grew up on the northwest side. I went to St. Tarsus's grade school, went to Taft High School, so and migrated down here to Indianapolis about 20 years, 25 years ago maybe, and then got into racing, and still have family up in Chicago, so you know, I'm really still a Bears fan, a Bulls fan, a Chicago Blackhawks fan. And I even referenced, like we were talking about the experience, right? This would be like playing with the Blackhawks, right? At the start of the, you know, that when they dropped a puck, you're a player with it. Same thing with our racing experience. But yeah, I am a Chicago guy, and that'll never leave me. I'm always, Chicago's home to me. Indianapolis is kind of a vacation. I've been having a lot of fun down here.
it's the equivalent fans for, you know, being in net, you know, taking slap shots from Patrick Kane, right?
Right,
that's what it is. So people want to get involved, get on the track, and experience all of those amazing things that you are building and have built. Where can they go one more time with the website?
The IndyRacingExperience.com or StockCar at .IndyRacingExperience.com. So either one takes you there, and you can book a stock car experience, you can book an IndyCar experience here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway or tracks around the country.
Bless you, Scott. Thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for jumping on the show today. Thanks for being on WGN.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, this is IndyCar driver Charlie Kimball, and you're on the road with Dane at WGN.
On the road with Dane live here in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway as we are gearing up for the running of the Indy 500. So many great drivers. 300,000 people in the stands. Some of the biggest stars in the world will be here as well. On the track, a handful of great and amazing drivers will be competing for that 500 crown so that they will become part of history. With us, we got driver of the number 23 car, Charlie Kimball for Carlin Motorsports. Charlie, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me.
So these are exciting times. A little rainy here. You're getting ready on the qualifying side. Talk a little bit about that preparation. I mean, this is the one race that takes, you know, I'm not going to say it takes a month, but it takes weeks to prepare for and be ready for.
It is a mental, physical, and emotional drain, 100%. It's hard on us as drivers. It's hard on the teams, the mechanics, the engineers, the support staff, everybody involved. Because here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, when you're seeing speeds averaging north of 200 miles an hour, on Fast Friday, we may get up close to 230-mile-an-hour averages. And when you're going that fast, the littlest thing, the little mistake, the wing set wrong or the bolt not quite tight leads to major consequences. And how you engineer the car, how you set up the car, small things make massive impacts at those speeds.
We've talked about some of the prep that happens, obviously qualifying so important, and then getting it right, right? Because it is kind of the opportunity to make history. How much of it is things that you can do on the track, you know, after lap after lap? How much of it do you try to do on computer through simulators? Where's that kind of balance?
The challenge is, the balance is, you do everything you can. You work through computer simulation, you work through computer simulators with drivers in the loop before you get to the racetrack. At the racetrack, as you make changes, you validate changes in computer simulation, you validate them on the racetrack. And a lot of it comes down to driver feel. What we as drivers are feeling in the cockpit, the feedback we get through the wheel, through the tires, through the engine notes, and then evaluating the data afterwards, looking at the steering angles and the scrub and the speed and the engine RPM, the gearing, the wind, the barometric pressure, all of those things make an impact. And so we have to do as much as we can off the track as we do on the track, because if you don't, another team will.
Traveling around the country with the Verizon IndyCar Series, you get an opportunity to see so many parts of America, but this is kind of the epicenter of racing. So many teams are based here, but as far as, you know, all of those other tracks that you visit, this, of course, is a focus, but where else do you really enjoy racing?
Well, I love being here in Indiana. I moved from Southern California coming up on 8 years ago, and it's a great place to live. Indiana is, and race, as you mentioned. Growing up in Southern California, though, I always went to the Grand Prix of Long Beach as a kid, and now being able to go back and race there in April on the other side of the catch fencing with the crash helmet on is really neat. I remember getting autographs from my favorite drivers, guys like Jimmy Vassar and Alex Zanardi, and now when I go, I try and make sure that I accommodate as many fans as possible because I know how much it meant to me when I was there as a young fan.
And that's one of the things, too, is, and I know IndyCar is doing a bunch of the stuff with the outreach and the social media and things like that, having kind of the sport reach more people, be more things to more people. You know, was that a concern? I mean, because it's hard enough just to get to be the point where, you know, talent-wise and support-wise, you get to be on the track racing. So you were really thinking, like, well, when I get there, I'm going to, you know, be the right person, the right driver outside of the car as much as on the track.
Well, I think that's a big factor in what we do as racing drivers. I think driving an Indy car is only about 15 or 20% of my job as a professional racing driver. The rest is engineering and media and marketing, as well as PR and fan interaction, building the fan base for this sport that I love so much and want to share with. The other thing is, as the first licensed driver with type 1 diabetes to race in the Indy 500, it's important that through the work with Novo Nordisk and the Race with Insulin program, we continue to give back to the diabetes community. And I take that responsibility very seriously.
I think that that is one of the most important things, is that you have this platform. Some people do nothing with it. Some people do an awful lot with it. And I think something as important that touches as many people as diabetes. Personally, like, you know, our family, my wife just got diagnosed with diabetes just last week, and her family struggles with a lot of that. And I think that that's important that you can be out there. So what are some of the messages? Obviously, you're going to be able to raise some awareness for what Novo Nordisk is doing and some of the things that they can help people incorporate in their lives. Is part of it, though, too, is to kind of show that you can get out there, you can do anything?
100%. The biggest message is that with the right tools and the right management, you can still live your dreams. If that's driving a race car at over 200 miles an hour or whatever it is you want to achieve, you have to work with your healthcare team and come up with strategies. You know, my IndyCar is different than everyone else's because my body's different. My preparation before the race is different and that much more critical, because I have to make sure that my blood sugar is right and ready to go for a full 500 miles.
I think people will want to know this. We've got in Chicago, Chicago Cubs, beloved team, Ron Santo, longtime player, played with diabetes and was such an advocate for JDRF and all the things that they're doing specifically to this. You know, if he wasn't feeling good, maybe he missed, you know, that ground ball got by. If you're not feeling good, you know, it could be a disaster. Talk a little bit about how you need, like, maybe the specific things you need to do to be ready to race.
Well, at 225 miles an hour, you go 100 yards, end zone to end zone on an NFL field every second. So if I'm not making the correct split second decisions, we're not even close to on the right racetrack. So what it comes down to is making sure that my management before I get in the car is right. My blood sugar is where I want it to be. And then in the car, I wear a glucose monitor so I can see my blood sugar on my dash. So on my steering wheel, I have speed, lap time, oil pressure, blood sugar, water temperature, car and body data right there together, and the engineers in pit lane can see it as well. So I've got a few extra sets of eyes keeping track of my body, just like they keep track of the car.
Let the listeners know we're talking with Charlie Kimble from Carlin Motorsports. He will be on track for the Indianapolis 500 and also on track sharing and as an ambassador for diabetes management and health as well. So what is it that you eat? We talk about, you know, the old drivers of the past. You look at A.J. Foyt, not always, you know, the picture of perfect health physically, right? But the drivers now, you guys are in great shape. As far as the diabetes managing that, like, what is it that you eat? What's your routine health-wise?
Well, I think as racing has evolved, so has the evolution in the athlete become a bigger part of racing. I work full-time with an exercise physiologist. I learn about how my body reacts to certain foods. My pre-race meal is always the same. It's carb counted, it's protein counted, it's measured and weighed. And honestly, by the end of the year, I'm a little tired of plain grilled chicken breast and plain pasta, salad, and some fruit. And I know how many carbs that is. I know how my body reacts. I know it doesn't upset my stomach. I know that I can inject my insulin and bolus for that amount so that when I get in the car, diabetes is along for the ride. It's not behind the wheel at all.
You think about this. There's so much of your work that has to be done on the track with the team, so many obligations. Of course, the important work and efforts in raising awareness related to diabetes. But as a kid who grew up racing, right, enjoying it, what are some of the things that you really know, recognize, love, and appreciate about just this whole experience of being at the 500?
I think the Indianapolis Motor Speedway has some of the greatest traditions in sports. The greatest, they call it the greatest spectacle in racing. And honestly, I'm biased. I'll admit that. But I think the single coolest moment in sports for an athlete is driver introductions at the Indy 500. And one of my other favorite kind of quiet traditions is Rick Mears, who's a four-time winner here, Rocket Rick, at the Indianapolis 500. He's a spotter for one of the other teams, and he always spots out in turn three. Well, to get to the spotter stand, he has to walk up the grandstand. On race day, when he turns the corner to start the walk up to the grandstand, walk up the grandstand to the spotter stand, the whole grandstand stands up and applauds him as a four-time winner. The history and the tradition of over 102 years racing around this place means so much and is built into every fiber of this racetrack and this venue.
The history, the tradition, it's the reason 300,000 people will be here. It's the reason millions of people will be watching. It's the reason you'll be on the track. But as a guy who has lived in Indianapolis for a number of years, share a couple of things, your favorite things about Indy that people can experience, you know, throughout the year after the race is over.
I'm a huge proponent of the city of Indianapolis. We've definitely embraced the mentality of being Californian Hoosiers. We love living downtown. We love how vibrant downtown is during the month of May, how the city comes alive. If it's the cultural trail where you can ride a bike, the Pacers bike share, you can rent a bike and bike around the canal. The food scene's coming alive. Multiple James Beard nominees, you know, have restaurants and great food. I mean, not yet to the size of Chicago, but it's 35th in population. And the fact that we have that many James Beard nominees downtown doing great things on the culinary scene, the art scene with Newfields and the Indiana Museum of Art, the Children's Museum. It's family friendly and it's a great, you know, parents weekend away.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great road trip. Wow, you're doing my job for me. It is a great place, obviously, to enjoy the greatest spectacle in sports here, the Indianapolis 500. And throughout the course of the year, get to Indianapolis and see some of those sites. Enjoy some of the food that Charlie Kimball loves as well. Charlie, thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for what you're doing on behalf of Diabetes Awareness. Good luck coming up for the race, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thanks for having me, and I hope we'll see everyone here at the greatest racetrack in the world.
How's it going, everybody? This is IndyCar driver Kyle Kaiser for Juncos Racing, and we're on the road with Dane on WGN Radio.
WGN on the road with Dane, live here at Indianapolis Motor Speedway as we gear up for what is the greatest moment in motorsports coming up with the Indianapolis 500. So much preparation goes into it, so much with the drivers on the tracks practicing, because you know what? Not only are you racing a race, you're making history. Honored to have here, we've got the 2017 Indy Lights champion. He is the driver of the number 32 car for Juncos Racing, the one and only Kyle Kaiser. Kyle, welcome to WGN.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Very excited to be here.
It's just exciting. This is as exciting as it gets. When you started racing back when you were a little kid, grade school, you probably told people, someday I'm going to race in and potentially win the Indy 500. And now you have that opportunity. It's right here.
Yeah, it's been a very long journey. And I started go-karting when I was 6 or 7 years old. And if you would have told me back then that I would be here today, I wouldn't have believed it.
What kind of parents, as a parent of three kids, 11, 10, 6, I can't imagine signing the waiver form for any of them to get out there and race? Your parents, obviously you had that passion, but your parents let you do it.
Yeah, my dad actually used to race in Skip Barber for fun, just kind of like as a hobby. So he was dragging me out to the racetracks when I was a little kid to watch him race. So when I told him I had fun watching him, he's like, well, maybe you should give it a try. So he was the one who actually brought me out to the racetrack for the first time. The first time I got my first laps around on a go-kart is 6 years old. I loved it. I fell in love with it.
Well, you can't help but do it. And that's one of the things that we always say to the listeners. There's no substitute for actually being there on the spectator side. Getting in and racing, it's a totally different situation, but from a live sports thing. But your dad, you know, obviously he was into racing, thought this would be great for you. He's got to be on like cloud nine.
Oh, yeah. No, this is everything. I mean, we've been a team. He's helped me kind of work my way up through my career, and he's been at every single race event I can remember. So for him to be here and see me to race around this track in an Indy car is probably unreal for him, just like it is for me.
But a lot of competition, right? So you're the racing pride of Santa Clara, California. Certainly you love sports. You know, you got the 49ers, you got, you know, the Golden State Warriors. There's a lot of competition for, you know, Kyle's sports interest. Was there any chance that you were going to go into other sports?
Yeah, actually, in high school, before high school, I started playing football when I was 8 years old. I played in Pop Warner, and I actually thought I wanted to play quarterback in high school, make it to college, hopefully. But at the time, I wasn't growing. I was a tiny guy. I was 5'8", and in high school football, you got to be at least 6 foot. And I wasn't starting, so I'm like, okay, I think I should probably pursue my racing over football. And then I grew like 4 inches the second I quit football, but I think I made the right choice.
We think of, again, as a parent, you're thinking about football, that's a little bit rough. And of course, you know, you're not getting hit on a regular basis, ideally, in racing. But the potential, you know, for danger is always out there. Is that something like, you know, racing as a kid on? Have you had any kind of situations where you thought, you know what, maybe I need to rethink it?
I mean, every driver's been in a wreck or it's some sort of wreck if you've had a long career. And I've never had anything that scared me enough to not love the sport and not want to get in the car and push the car to the absolute limit. Thank goodness. But I've seen a lot of guys that have had some pretty serious wrecks still want to get back into it. And it's just the passion that you have for the sport never overrides the fear, I think.
So Indy Lights, it's one thing, you know, getting in there, doing things. You know, you knew you had the talent, obviously, at an early age, but getting here, describe a little bit. I know it's exciting, but do you have to kind of block out part of that lifelong dream, like you said? Do you have to block all that out so that you can kind of focus on what you're doing, trying to win?
I think all the experience you gain over the years, just every time you get into the car, strap in, it's just another day driving a car. And, of course, you know the weight of the situation. You can't help it when you're driving around Indianapolis Motor Speedway. But I think you've been trained to just know that this is your job. You go out there and you focus on what you have to do.
Think about business card, I don't know, fighter pilot, maybe barbecue pitmaster might be a great thing to have on. Race car driver, right? And you're doing it. You're only 22 years old, right? So you're a young guy. At this point, do you feel like you've sort of, you know, a lot of people aren't, they're just starting their careers at this point. Certainly you are in a racing, but you've achieved so much. Do you feel like you've kind of, I don't want to say quote unquote, made it?
I wouldn't say I've made it, because every driver has a goal of winning this race or racing full-time in IndyCar. I mean, this is definitely very exciting, and it's something I've been working towards for a long time, but the real hard work is just starting. And I've realized that after doing a few IndyCar races, that it's not an easy field by any means, and there's a lot of experience to be gained, a lot of stuff to learn. So I'm still learning, even though I've been doing this for so long and I'm still so young. I know I still need to keep going, keep pushing, so that I can stay out there and learn more and get better.
One of the things that we like to share with the listeners is, you know, racing is a sport that you can't just go out for. You know, you can't just go out for to decide that you like it and do it. It's expensive. You need sponsors, you need backers, supportive parents, and all that kind of stuff. So describe, as you know, I read somewhere that you're still enrolled part-time in college, and so you're still trying to further your education. That's great to do. But describe, you know, what is like a day in the life or a week? I know this is a partial series schedule in IndyCar, but what's a kind of like a week in the life of Kyle?
Yeah, I think the only benefit to not being full-time is I could spend more time training, because that's really what it comes down to, is I'm in the gym every single day, you know, morning till noon probably, just trying to get physically prepared, because these cars are very tough to drive with, you know, you're strapping into these cars and it's super, super hot in the cockpit with your full suit and your helmet and everything. So I want to be in as good shape as I could be in. Then in the afternoons, after I'm done at the gym, I'll go to the shop, talk with the engineers, try and learn more about the dynamics of the car. And then we have a racing simulator at the shop that I can actually get some seat time behind, get an idea of driving the car.
That's one of the things that's really a big thing now. We talked even about the R&D on the cars and some of the stuff that they're able to do with the computers and with the simulators. Being a young guy and kind of growing up probably online with computers and all that, did that really help a lot, using the simulator in order to like practice and get better so when your opportunity came, you'd be ready?
I think I've been very fortunate to have my generation where you're so familiar with using computers and racing on simulators, because getting in the race car and actually driving it is very expensive, and it's very hard that you get the opportunity to do that too often. So having the simulator has been an invaluable tool.
You get a chance to sit here and do some of this media here, and it's exciting for us, obviously, to talk with you and kind of share some of that excitement. So what's the week like? What's the week coming up? What does your next week look like as you prepare to actually get behind the wheel in the race?
You know, to be completely honest, I'm focusing one day at a time, because these days have been so full. I mean, I know I have a schedule, and, you know, I'm very lucky to have a very good PR girl that's helping me out and telling me where I have to be at the right times, because I'm really just focused on what I need to do in the race car right now. And I mean, that's qualifying, and there's going to be a bump day this year. So I've been focusing as much as I can on how to make this car go as fast as it can every time I can.
Last thing is, you're experiencing this, you know, your family, you mentioned your dad. So as when it comes to racing in your Indianapolis 500, who's going to be here for you cheering you on?
Oh man, I have lots of friends and family that have been supporting me since I was a little kid coming out for this race. So it's very, very exciting for them to make the trip out here, because a lot of them are from California. So for them to come out and root for me, I can't wait for them to be here.
Good luck with everything. Good luck in the race coming up. And good luck in the rest of your career. It's going to be a very bright future for Kyle Kizer. Kyle, thanks so much for what you're doing, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hi, this is Doug Bowles, president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, home of the 102nd running of the Indianapolis 500. And you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
Back home again in Indiana.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, as we are in that calm before that storm of activity, fast excitement. 300,000 people here, millions, of course, watching all around the world. But there is so much more to what leads up to the Indianapolis 500. Not only do you have the month of May, the calendar turns, right? Indianapolis comes alive, and then certainly in the weeks before. And so we're just a handful of days out. Honored to have with us, he is the president of Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the one and only
family, Jay Douglas Bowles. Doug, welcome to WGN.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys hanging out with us and getting ready for their Indy 500 day.
A tireless supporter, promoter, carrying the torch for Indianapolis Motor Speedway, of course, as its greatest ambassador. So talk a little bit about it. Everyone focuses on the race, and obviously millions of people will be doing that, but even a little bit out, there's so much activity here at the track.
Yeah, you know, one of the things we really tried to do is make the month of May, from the moment we open the gates through the checkered flag of the Indy 500, something that has something for everybody. We want people to come out and just celebrate being a Hoosier, frankly. We love the fact that this is an Indiana asset, and we can bring Hoosiers from all over to celebrate it. So whether it's music, or whether it's fun in the midway, or whether it's just coming out, sitting with the same people you sat with in the grandstand for years and watching the Indy 500, you know, we're really trying to give a lot of variety so people have a reason to come.
As we get into race weekend, again, people focus on the race, but you guys have built a lot of events where people can make this so an entire weekend, maybe even longer, but there's a lot of stuff leading up.
Yeah, absolutely. So when, you know, Carb Day kicks off, that final practice on Friday, as we go through getting everybody ready, we've got music that takes place out here, autograph sessions. Saturday, the day before the 500, is all about celebrating the history of the Speedway. We got a lot of legend drivers that are here, the public drivers meeting that takes place. The garage areas are open for people to walk through. And then we have a Sam Hunt concert the night before the Indy 500, just to really kick things off. And then race day, all the things you can expect on race day, the pre-race that's so special, the event that's so special, but even for the young adults under the age of 30 with the snake pit and the music that takes place out there, we're really trying to make it something that attracts everyone to come to the Speedway.
We've had you on the show a number of times leading up and always talking about trying to make the Speedway, the event, more things to more people. Your history, of course, you said it's a time to celebrate being a Hoosier. Your connection to the Speedway is undeniable, and being here, you know, kind of shaping what people's experiences are.
Well, you know, for me, those 30 minutes that lead up to the race, and that's 90 seconds of back home again in Indiana, is what it's all about. And being a Hoosier, you know, I'm just so proud to kind of help pull this together and give people that pride that this state really deserves, and to put this state on an international platform where people, everybody's attention is on Indianapolis, Indiana on race day as we celebrate the Indy 500. But the experience of sitting in the grandstands, maybe second or third or fourth generation folks that come here, to those first timers who've never been here before, who are just wandering around the grounds with a GA pass, those are the experiences that begin to plant those seeds that people come back year after year. And for those that don't come, listen to it on the radio or watch it on TV. I just hope that folks just really realize this is a really cool asset that the state of Indiana has.
We talk about your connection with the Speedway, undeniable, but of course, and people don't necessarily always focus on it, Chicago's connection with the Speedway. We reach, you know, the Midwest at all times, 38 states in Canada, but, you know, Chicago has a great connection with the Speedway. So many big racing fans come from our area.
Well, outside of Indianapolis, probably the next biggest market for the Indianapolis 500 is the Chicago market. When I say that, it's Chicago, but it's also the northwestern part of the state of Indiana. And Chicago, Tinley Park area, for example, is just deep in its roots of race car drivers that have been here. The Bettenhausen family, the folks that really are iconic of the Speedway. So when you think about the connection between 65 and the Hoosiers in between, but really Chicago is that second home, and certainly the biggest home outside of Indiana for the Indy 500.
Yeah, certainly the Ray Hall family. There's a lot of different connections that we've got in Chicago. One of the big ones, and you mentioned it's one of your favorite as well, is back home in Indiana. One of the voices, right, of Chicago, it's especially for the Chicago Blackhawks, Jim Cornelison. He could not be more excited. Had him on the show last week when we had Takuma Sato in studio with us, and to have him as part of it, being from Indianapolis, but also having those great Chicago ties, really setting the stage, kind of kicking off the whole event.
You know, it's funny, for the last several years, people reached out to us and said, hey, you ought to get Anthem Singer, which is his Twitter handle, to sing the national anthem. And because the national anthem's on, you know, it's Memorial Day Sunday weekend, and it's just so reverent here, we've never felt like that would exactly fit. And then when Jim Nabors retired and we had a couple of people sing Back Home Again in Indiana, we thought, let's just ask and see if Jim would actually sing Back Home Again in Indiana. And we've always said the singing of the song is a tradition, not who sings it. But he was so unbelievable last year. Our crowd went crazy, so we had no choice really but to invite him back. And the beautiful thing about him is he has all year long connected with race fans, and our PR team has created this really cool relationship with the Blackhawks. So we're actually helping promote Blackhawks down here while the Blackhawks are helping promote us. The last couple of years as well, we've been up and done things with the Cubs. So we've created almost the same kind of relationship with the professional sports franchises in Chicago as we have here with the Pacers and the Colts. So it's been a really fun connection, and Jim has really been sort of the glue to help us do some of those things.
You think about a lot of the things that are happening. Jim
Cornelius, a big star, right? In Chicago, he is one of our kind of beloved figures in the voice of the Blackhawks. So many stars come to this event. You know, racing is a great event, and you have a lot of fans, I think, from all walks of notoriety. Specifically, the 500 draws in just an amazing cavalcade of personalities. And I don't know how you manage that. Certainly the drivers, some of the biggest stars and some of those legends that will be here as well. But you've got, you know, rock stars, A-list movie stars. You're going to have Chris Hemsworth here, so you're going to actually have Avengers, right, in for the race as well. So talk about some of the people that are here. So many people love it. You get to meet with them. Is there anybody you're really geeked to get to meet for the 500?
It's pretty fun to see all the people that come through, but Chris Hemsworth is pretty neat. I can't believe the number of people who are excited about actually seeing Chris Hemsworth here. A lot of ways, you know, we were just talking about Jim a minute ago. Jim, to me, just especially the way he delivered the Back Home Again in Indiana is one of those people that I'm just really excited to have back. Lily King, who was the American gold medalist, won a couple gold medals in swimming, was our pace car driver for the IndyCar Grand Prix earlier, and I'm a former swimmer, so I got pretty geeked out about her being here. And it's amazing that people like Lady Gaga just showed up a couple years ago, right? And we actually put her in the two-seater, so you never know, even until race day, who some of the people are that are going to show up. But David Letterman comes, you know, as part of the Ray Hall Letterman team. So you get a lot of fun people that just love to come to the Indy 500.
So many different ways to enjoy it. Like I said, millions will be enjoying it on television, 300,000 plus here in the stands. Still time to get involved and experience what is going to be happening here in so many different ways. So Doug, as that great ambassador, let people know how they can get on board, get involved, and get here to Indianapolis and experience some of this.
Well, IMS.com can tell you everything about the Speedway, opportunities to come down, whether you want to come down for the race or carb day. Any of those are available. The biggest takeaway for me is even if you're not coming down, tune in on the TV. You know, you can root on that. You got an outside Chicago Dale Coyne Racing team is based there. They'll have three or four cars in the Indy 500. So you've got that hometown team that you can absolutely root for. IMS.com kind of tells you everything. And if you can't get down here, listen on the radio or watch it on TV. And maybe one of the years for those folks, I'd love to see them down here.
300,000 fans will be here. One of the biggest fans is Doug Bowles himself. And, of course, the Speedway, the event, the history, the legacy is in great hands with you as well. So thanks for everything that you're doing for the event, for the race, for the track. And thanks for jumping. 720 WGN on the road live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. So much cool stuff is going on as, of course, we gear up for the Indy 500 coming up next weekend. After that is Route 66 Raceway. We do have a couple four-packs. Lots of people are calling in for that we're going to be giving away to listeners for the JEGS Route 66 Nationals happening. It's the 20th anniversary of Route 66. And I got a chance to talk with John Williams earlier today during his show, and he was interested in talking a little bit about Chicagoland Speedway's weekend coming up. And exciting, definitely want to reinforce and mention that is coming up on the 28th of June through July 1st. Four great races that are happening there. You got the Truck Series race, Xfinity race, an ARCA race, and you even have, of course, the Monster Energy Cup Series race that happens that Sunday. There's going to be a concert that is going to be happening. This will be the biggest, and they've done so much, super supportive of our men and women in uniform, our veterans, in every way over there. This will be the biggest expression of support that they have had at the Speedway. There will be a parade on Sunday, recognition of Gold Star families. They're going to have a lot of military equipment and vehicles there. So if you're supportive of all that, and of course you are, especially during Independence Day kind of time period, the first and closest weekend around there, you should definitely get out there, see it, as well as all the stars of racing when it comes to stock cars at Chicagoland Speedway. So chicagolandspeedway.com, and you can get tickets, packages, infield passes, garage passes, pit passes, and keep posted there, because they're going to have a lot of the different driver interactions and signings, and always stuff for the kids. Kids are free on Friday and Saturday at Chicagoland Speedway, and then lots of opportunities in the kids club for them to kind of hang out, have fun, and get a heap and helping of racing and some of those great drivers. ChicagolandSpeedway.com. So just reinforcing what we talked with John Williams about earlier today. So that's one of those road trips. It's maybe like 40 minutes away from anywhere in the Chicagoland area. Camille, our great producer, she has been all over the place traveling, of course, in the name of good content, whether it's radio, video, just content in general, right? And so you took your own road trip. This was, you know, part of a vocational trip. So this wasn't like, you know, someplace you wanted to go on a vacation, but you were there, you saw someplace new.
Yeah, so we went to five different towns in 5 days, Clarksville, Illinois, Effingham, Illinois, Brees, Illinois, Grafton, and Moline. So we were all over the place, mostly southern Illinois, a lot along the Mississippi, which was really cool to see.
So now the Mississippi River, you've seen it. Well, I don't want to say we've all seen it. We've got a vast listening audience, mm-hmm. and not everybody has seen everything. But as we pass over a number of different rivers kind of in the Chicagoland area, you think, well, that's pretty big. You know, Fox River mm-hmm. seems big. But when you see something like the Ohio River, certainly the Mississippi mm-hmm. River,
oh, yeah.
it's just so huge, right?
Yeah, and we saw like these giant barges going up and down them. Where we stayed in Grafton, Grafton's a river city, right on the river. We stayed in a haunted hotel that overlooked the Mississippi River.
312-981-7200. No, don't call in. You can text in if you have any, because Camille obviously can't talk with us and then answer the phone. But the I have a lot of reservations. Some people see that as it's a badge of honor. If I had a hotel, well, I don't have a hotel, but it would dissuade me from staying there instead of... But some places kind of yeah. embrace their hauntedness.
Well,
huh?
When we got there, we didn't know that we were coming into a haunted
hotel.
And
how would you, right? The ghosts come out at night.
No, and we weren't booking these ourselves. Back in Chicago, they were booking these rooms for us. And we show up, and I was like, mm-mm. I was like, oh, there's something
Do you have
up.
Like some kind of a secret spidey sense on the haunted side? Could you tell that it was...
If you walked into this place, you would just know. And so we're all like, okay, we checked in, and I gave the hotel a Google, and the first thing that pops up is one of the most haunted hotels in Illinois. And I'm like, oh, no.
At least it wasn't the word massacre.
No, it's a friendly ghost named Abigail.
Oh, nice. That's good. She works there.
Sure. It's a very sad story. She was a child who got tuberculosis on a river cruise and died at the hotel. It's very sad.
Is there a plaque in the lobby somewhere?
Mm-mm. So the owner claimed that he doesn't tell anybody that it's haunted unless they ask about it. But he was joking about Abigail as we're checking in. And we just thought it was like an employee at the hotel. It's very odd.
But it's not. Well, some of these, I mean, there are people, there's a lot of different shows on television that are very popular. Some mm-hmm. of these paranormal shows where they're sitting in a dark room, obviously with some kind of, night vision goggles on saying, hey, did you hear that? I mean, that's
they've
a thing.
They've had
right?
those shows come to the hotel.
Did they? And they verify? Because sometimes they're there to verify it. Sometimes they're there to debunk.
They verified.
Oh, no. So Abigail was like starring. Oh, I don't know. Stayed mm-hmm. at the Equinox Hotel in Vermont. It's supposedly really haunted. The Brown Hotel in Denver, which is supposedly really haunted. But some of these smaller ones, because sometimes, you got to drum up business any way you can. Maybe, have an Abigail working for you.
I'll show you the video I took of the hallway after the show. And it is, I just sent it to my friends and they're like, oh, come on. Oh, really? Like, this is the hotel? I'm like, yeah. It had, like, the red carpet and the pictures of dolls on the wall.
With the eyes moving. Oh, wow.
It was... I didn't sleep very well. I left the TV on and the lights on. I was like, mm-mm. It's like, nope, no ghosts for me.
Well, you don't have a lot of opportunities sometimes in rural areas. There's only so many places for accommodation. No, so was it a chain? Was it, like, a Best Western or mm-mm. something?
It was the Rubel Hotel in Grafton, Illinois. Right. It was, it's just... husband and wife own it.
Abigail's part owner.
She's definitely maybe 10%.
So name at least one of the other places. And was there anything there that you saw? You were there obviously for work, but you're there kind of highlighting some of the best parts of these places.
Yeah. So if you go to enjoyillinois.com, they have a whole section on Illinois tourism, and they have these businesses, and they call them Illinois makers. So we were going to make video profiles on some of these makers. So in Grafton, we visited a company called Bona Vista Art. And this man, Greg, he makes all of these lamps out of antiques, and he makes jewelry and paints, just anything he can. And then his wife, Janie, helps run the business. So it's such a cool place. You can't buy the lamps online or everything. You have to go there. And they're gorgeous. You can see them on their website, too. But we went there. Ice cream place in Moline that has a James Beard Award, Lago Marcino's.
So you're highlighting some of the movers and shakers mm-hmm. of downstate Illinois.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was great.
So there was, this is kind of where the Camille had her own actual road trip where you're out there exploring and seeing the sights, getting haunted
a
little bit as well. Okay, so there's a road trip. I'm not sure that there's any ghosts out at Route 66, but there certainly is some of the best racing action. We have a pack, actually two packs of four tickets each to the Jags Route 66 NHRA Nationals at Route 66, May 31st through June 3rd. May 31st through June 3rd. Hopefully you'll be able to go and enjoy it. 312-981-7200. Last opportunity during this commercial break to give a call in or text, and you can talk to Camille, give your first car, your favorite car, or just your dream car, you know, whatever car that you'd want to participate in. You'll be entered to win along with our bona fide ride of the show as we took a bona fide ride to Indianapolis for the 500. Quick break, we'll come back, we're gonna announce our winner. Camille will do that, then we'll send it to White Sox Weekly. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN On the Road, wrapping things up here. We are going to be sending it to White Sox Weekly in just a second. But first, Camille, you've got our winners.
Yes, Tim from Homer Glen, his favorite car is 72 Camaro. And Larry from Chicago, and his dream car is a 70 Oldsmobile 442 convertible.
Wow.
I'll be giving them a call in just a few minutes.
Congratulations, winning tickets to the Route 66 Nationals and also the bona fide ride of the show for the Bona Beef gift card. Keep it here. Right.